Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Someday I'll be free of phlegm. That day is not today. All right. Hey, it's 2 minutes and 28 seconds after the hour 12 in this, the month of December, in the year of our Lord, 2002. The Rick Emerson Show, live from the studios of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK in lovely, beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming along. We're here with Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom, along with producer Sarah Dillon and executive producer Matthew Peterson. Later on today, Richard Nunn from the WB will be here. He may attempt to grope me. You don't want to miss that.
He actually won't be here.
Really? What am I thinking of? Oh, I'm thinking of... What the hell am I thinking of?
They're busy today anyway. They have a women's basketball game on tonight.
Maybe it's just latent homoerotic projection. anyway.
No, he's going to call in
That's right.
Sometime between 2 and 2:20. He's actually, when he called me about an hour ago, was on his way to Mount Hood to go skiing.
Oh,
well, I take that back. He was doing a meteorological kind of word, however that's said, survey
sure.
on snow.
Sure.
To check snowfall and snowpack
exactly.
on the mountain, so he'll know what kind of summer we're going to have.
Maybe I'll just do this show on a fact-finding mission at the liquor store across the street tomorrow. Huh? All right. Anyway, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up later on today, we got the top five driving songs of 2002, as determined by the folks at Yahoo.com's auto division. So it's coming up later on today. Top five driving songs of 2002. Bob Likas coming up at 3, and later on today, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, so you want to be there for that, too. Plus, Battle Watch coming your way, your phone calls, more on this whole... Gosh, the latest millstone around my neck, this whole thing of the... I don't even like to say the words. This thing of the band having to play somewhere in January.
Are you actually going to do it?
I don't know. I don't see any way of getting out of it. There's no... Unless I cut off one of my legs or something. Anyway, that's coming up. Your phone calls and all of that. 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Here is Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And this news is brought to you by Continental Loans. For your personal loan up to $900, call 503-652-1004. That's 503-652-1004. Continental Loans, would they love to say? Yes. Top story? Let's get right to the Battle Watch.
Here's your Battle Watch for Thursday.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. Won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
The dove becomes a hawk. Colin Powell says we're sick and tired of Iraq.
We have seen this game again and again. An attempt to sow confusion and buy time, hoping the world will lose interest. This time, the game is not working. This time, the international community is concentrating its attention and increasing its resolve as the true nature of the Iraqi regime is revealed again.
None of which is true, by the way.
Right.
There wasn't one single true statement in that whole thing he just said. Wasn't one bit of truth in there. I mean, I don't necessarily know that he was...
The truth remains, the surveys still show we want to put a boot in somebody's ass.
That's the only truth there, is that Americans are itching to kill something. I'm not, it's kind of like I'm going to cry if we go bomb Iraq or something, but I just... But correct me if I'm wrong here. Now, maybe I've been grossly misinformed about this, and it wouldn't be the first time that happened. Correct me if I'm mistaken, that the UN came back... And said there was like nothing.
Right.
Right. The UN came back from this big investigative trip to Iraq, which we demanded that they undertake. You know what this is?
This is exactly like... to show if the polls slip, they are not slipping.
This is exactly like two things. A, this is like when Nixon, right before Nixon, because people know this, the war on drugs, phrase war on drugs began with Nixon. He's the one who created that entire phrase. Nixon was the one who launched the war on drugs in 1970, I want to say four, but it might have been three.
in any event, but Nixon had this gigantic investigative, sort of like this Mies Commission, that went and investigated drug use, and they came back and they said, ah, drugs, schmugs, what are you going to do? You know, it's not a big deal. And Nixon, I won't hear of it. War on drugs! And immediately disregarded the report that he himself commissioned, by the way, when he did not agree with its results, and then launched into this huge, gigantic, just Pyrrhic battle into fighting narcotics and whatnot. And then later on, and then in 1989, when Reagan commissioned the Mies folks to go look into pornography, and they came back and they said, butts and boobs, what can you do? And said that it was not a big deal, and Reagan then disregarded that. This is exactly the same thing, where we leaned on the UN to go over there and inspect, and the UN came back and said there was nothing, and now we're just disregarding it.
Right. So, what did they do this time, we ask?
We know that in the late 1990s, Iraq built mobile biological weapons production units. Yet the declaration tries to wave this away, mentioning only mobile refrigeration vehicles and food testing laboratories. We also know that Iraq has tried to obtain high-strength aluminum tubes, which can be used to enrich uranium in centrifuges for a nuclear weapons program. The Iraqi regime is required by Resolution 1441 to report those attempts. Iraq, however, has failed.
This is sort of like our business of not allowing them to fly over their own country.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just saying.
Papua New Guinea can't be sold at any of this anyway.
Hear all this now from the neoconservatives. We want to liberate Iraq. They're not awake at night concerned about the Iraqi people at all. Yeah. They're people. Why don't we liberate the Sudanese? Why don't we liberate the Libyans, the Tibetans?
Excellent. Go, Pat. Man, that guy's what kind of world are we living in where Pat Buchanan's the voice of sanity and reason?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And one more war type thing. Actress and left-wing activist Jane Fonda being heckled by right-wingers. Arriving in Israel, they demonstrated against the actress outside a restaurant where she's meeting with a left-wing Peace Now group.
You are the hope of Peace Now!
Okay, have a good look at that.
American people hate you!
Have a nice lunch.
American will not forgive you!
What's on the list of appetizers?
I could get behind bombing Jane Fonda. I think we could. That's see that you want unanimity. Yeah. That's something we could all agree on. We're going to go bomb Jane Fonda's house. This was said for comedic and satiric purposes only. Does not reflect reality.
Yeah.
I'm just saying though, man, you want something we could all unite behind? Just go bomb Sean Penn's house. That's something we could all decide to do.
That's today's Battle Watch.
That's your Battle Watch for Thursday.
Americans play to win all the time. Americans love a winner. Now we have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
All right.
And
let me just say, by the way, that Iraq has issued this statement, this 12,000 page report, where they say, you know, like, if you've got evidence of weapons of mass destruction stuff, U.S., just show it. Where Iraq is saying, I can't believe I'm now in the position of sounding like I'm defending Iraq. This is the weirdest time that's ever existed. But Iraq is saying the same thing that we've all been saying over here, which is like, just point to it. Just show us where it is. Just do the JFK. Just get on and point to a little graph and say, there you go. There's some things that can blow us all up. And then, you know, but did nothing. They just have done nothing so far.
And the funny thing is, the media is not even investigating any of this.
They're not. And here's the worst part about it. None of this would bother me if it were not for this. It's not like Saddam Hussein's a good guy by any stretch of the imagination. It's not like I'm going to weep if somebody goes over there and puts him through a, you know, somebody goes over there and shoves him through a wire screen like he was an eggplant. It's not going to bother me.
How about Iran? We don't even know who their nasty leader is.
Here's the thing, and this is the really, for good or bad, this is the reality of Rick Emerson's take on the world. You could probably go blow up about 90% of the people in the world and I wouldn't cry. Like, if I woke up tomorrow and 9 out of 10 people had just been obliterated, not going to lose any sleep over it. As long as I can still get cable, that's all that matters to me. But the thing about it is that like, the absent any actual evidence, what you're saying is basically, trust George W. Bush. He wouldn't lie to you about it. That's what it is. If like, absent any proof or actual physical or photographic evidence they can show to us, you were asking me to base all my decisions and all my thoughts as a citizen solely upon the word of George W. Bush, who we already know can't count and can't speak correctly. So it becomes a bit skittish at that point. Oh, no, I didn't. Am I supposed to do that? All right, hold on.
Okay, it's up on your
sponsorship.
See, I was trying to do that quietly.
Oh, it's written right over there.
It's written in big blue letters.
Let me take time out from this ideological screed.
Certainly.
To say that this hour of the Rick Emerson Show is brought to you by... Oh, this is the guy who did the pictures of us.
Yeah.
This hour of the Rick Emerson Show is brought to you by Michael Hacker Photography, professional full-service photography specializing in weddings. Why was he doing us then if he's... Anyway, give Michael Hacker Photography a call at 503-816-4944. There you go.
So actually, it's this 48 minutes.
Yeah, there's the remaining...
You kind of shorted in the first 12 minutes of the show, right?
What are you going to do? All right.
Hi.
Okay,
anyway,
there you go.
There are more important things to discuss than war. Top local story. A Portland woman bakes the best cookies. Alicia Leverton's molasses crinkle top cookies have been chosen... Good Morning America's best in the country. They surprised you live on TV at her home.
Here you go.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's great. I want to taste one of those cookies.
We're on Prozac. Jesus. That's what Utah sounds like all the time. Utah is filled with people like that.
Well, anyway, 50 Lincoln High School students walked out of school this morning and marched to Pioneer Courthouse Square like a bunch of old hippies.
Because we feel like it's really unfair that our sports are going to get cut and that they're spending money on our fields and getting new computers, but they can't even afford to keep us in school. And teachers are making big tests just for people who miss school today that they can't make up. And some teachers support it, but they can't because they have to mark people absent according to our principal, who is saying that we will be in trouble and we'll have an unexcused absence and our parents will get called tonight if we miss school because we're trying to fight for our rights.
Crimea River.
Well, that's not for Kelly Stone, who's being criticized for not organizing a better walkout.
Well, we kind of feel like it was organized with more students than it was, like, the principal supporting it, like, last year, and our school, like, president was supporting it last year. And now we feel like it's more kids, like, you know, underclassmen, too, so that's why they think it's unorganized. And they also probably think it's unorganized because budget cuts involves them, and they want to do it their own way.
But nobody was playing a snare drum.
Hold on,
like
let me note this. First of all, they're either underfunded in the English department or somebody's skipping one too many classes. It's not budget cuts involves. It is clearly budget cuts involved. There is no S on the end of that.
She was doing a pretty good job up until that point.
A little too much time at Claire's.
She's a sophomore.
And all right. I'm not even clear what they're protesting. That's the whole thing. It has nothing to do with... it's like those people that are always waving placards down by the Starbucks downtown. It's like, what are you protesting? I don't know. What is it?
They're protesting the fact that they're all basically all athletics are going to be canceled.
Oh, eat me. Who cares? Athletics ought to be the first thing they cut.
Then students will have no one to look up to.
Who will we idolize if we don't have cocaine snorting, you know, sexual assaulting football players in the society to look up to?
Tomorrow.
If we don't have professional athletes and athletes of all stripes who beat women and do drugs, who will we
you
have
sound
to idolize?
A little bitter because you couldn't make any teams in high school.
I really do.
Has nothing to do with that. It's like schools have no business. Athletics ought to be the last thing on the budget. Schools are not there to teach you how to play badminton. You know what I mean?
It keeps kids off the streets.
Seriously, you were the one who was bitching the other day that only like 4% of kids can find Iraq on the map. Well, maybe that's because everything goes towards buying a new set of, you know, here are some cleats, you know.
If the football was in Iraq, there wouldn't be any problem.
Completely. We had to buy some new jocks for you there. Put those on. The hell, man! Everything on the budget ought to come before athletics, and that's not me being grouchy. That's simple. That's a simple statement of scholastic priorities as they ought to exist. Math and biology classes aren't the only things that I consider to be fundamentally useless. Sports in school. Name me one thing, without using the phrase teamwork. Give me one thing that you learn from sports in schools.
Perseverance.
Oh, please, perseverance.
Teamwork.
Oh,
you said without naming teamwork.
Oh,
that's what everybody. You know what?
Leadership.
Leadership.
Thinking outside the box. Motivation.
You okay? I'm going to grab these in no particular order here because they're all inane. Here's how you don't learn thinking outside the box. Sports, by definition, are an entire set of activities which are fundamentally predicated on rules that you cannot deviate from without being penalized.
Not true.
Sports is all about being in the box.
Rules were made to be bent. It's learning how to push the rules to the limit.
Thank you, Michael Jordan.
Well,
thanks.
You know.
Yeah, when it's all about giving 110%. That's what you get when you cut school funding. You get people talking about 110%.
God. To greet her pastor, shall we?
All right.
Sean Astin plays the Hobbit Sam, Frodo's trusted traveling companion in Lord of the Rings. It says here, the Lord towers.
Does it?
Yes, it does.
That's outcome-based education.
Sean comments on Sam's strength, courage, and support.
I'm sort of fiercely protective of the idea that Frodo ultimately sacrifices more than Sam. He really does. He's the one who's the ring bearer. He's the one who is forced. His soul, the sanctity of his soul is compromised by holding this ring for as long as he does. And Sam doesn't have to endure that. So they're not the same. But to the extent that Sam evinces real strength, yeah, I was really happy about that.
Somebody's trying to convince me the other day that Sauron is Hitler. That's the whole thing about the Lord of the Rings, is that Sauron is Hitler, and that the Frodo's, of course, the Allied forces.
I don't know.
It's a bunch of gibberish, if you ask me.
Sean, tell us what an honor it is.
That might actually be right. I mean, when did it come out?
Yeah, but I think Tolkien has said that wasn't the case. Let me talk to you about a funny Tolkien thing, though. You know what Tolkien was known to have regretted later in his life?
But
he said that, and I think he said this, I forget when he died, but he said it sometime before he died. My sister was a huge Tolkien freak growing up. She had like the map of Middle-earth in her bedroom wall and crap. Dated a bunch of guys named like Twig, you know, and whatnot. Every guy she dated had long hair and played a lot of ELP songs on his guitar. But sometime before he died, they asked Tolkien if he had any regrets, and he said he regretted putting all the drug imagery in. He said he regretted having all that business of the... Because, you know, the Hobbit draw was smoking the leaf. And he said that he didn't like that because he detested hippies. And he hated the fact that hippies, like, clung on to his book like they were barnacles on the other side of a boat, you know. And he just despised hippies with everything in him. And so he said he really regretted the fact that he put all this pot imagery in. So... Anyway,
we have more from...
Yes, we do.
Sean, tell us what an honor it is to have your face on a postage stamp in New Zealand.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome,
actually.
You know
what it is? You know when you can go to Vegas or something and you can take a picture of yourself and put it on Time Magazine and it's kind of a joke? That's what it feels like. You look at the Time Magazine like, hey, cool. It's not like... It's not until you're in an airport in Vancouver and people are buying it and you're like, wow. It's really a part of the fabric of this kind of global culture for the moment. It's pretty cool. Stamps are awesome.
Stamps are awesome. Chris Farley, ladies and gentlemen. Is that the end of that particular...
Yes, it is. But Real Gangsta's Paradise in the Middle Earth...
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
that's obviously
you
wrong.
You already lost me. Let's start again.
The Real Gangsta's Paradise is Middle Earth, at least for two New York-based performers who have recorded Lord of the Rings, a rap song.
Two
go by the name Bombadil and Quickbeam. They have mixed clips from old Lord of the Ring records with original lyrics and snippets of poetry lifted directly from the trilogy.
Great.
The result sounds like what would happen if the Beastie Boys took a trip to Tokyo's alternate universe. Sounds great.
Well, just what we've all been clamoring for.
Please tell me you have that someplace.
Well, I might. If you're good, maybe you'll hear some of it later.
Well, it looks like God is punishing Trent Lott. A tornado is ripping through Mississippi as we speak.
That's good. All right. 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250. It's all part of the Christmas spirit, kids. All right, we got more on the way. Don't go anywhere. Jim Roop is going to be with us later on, and also...
John Bisney.
Also John Bisney from CNN Radio. That was my phone. We'll be back. Here's Otis Redding. It's Hot Talk 1080. KOTK.
Merry Christmas, baby. Shoot it, treat and die. We'll be right back.
1080 KOTK.
You know the thing about that Otis Redding Christmas song just now? It's like when we play that B.B. King Christmas song. It just reminds me of how lame my childhood was. That all the time my parents were shoveling Burl Ives records onto me. You know, every hour I was listening to Have a Holly Jolly Freaking... There was some better place somewhere where people were listening to Otis Redding for Christmas. You know what I mean?
Well, you can listen now.
A place... Yes, that's... yes, I'm getting my... it's latent soul. All right, here's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. CNN Radio's John Bisney going to join us here in a few moments. Later on, CNN Radio's Jim Roop going to be here talking about the Golden Globes. Also, Richard Nunn from the WB. Top five driving songs of 2002, according to Yahoo Auto and all that. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Mayor Katz says, stay out of my trash. Yesterday, Willamette Week reporters were at City Hall bringing back the trash taken from Mayor Katz's garbage. Reporter Chris Ligate says, they did nothing illegal.
They say that anyone can go after anyone else's trash. That's what they said in court. That's what they've argued all along, is that once you leave it at the curb, you give up all expectations of privacy.
So shred yourself. You don't want people poking through it.
Well, you said you own a shredder.
I do. It's one of my favorite weekend activities.
Can I tell you that shredding is immensely satisfying? You want to talk about getting rid of your stress? You get a paper shredder, just
it's
start running stuff
with
that.
A purpose.
Oh, no. It feels really good, man. I used to have this guy, Mike, when I had some friends who used to go to Eastern in Washington State. And but anyway, this guy Mike had for Christmas one year, he got a paper shredder, and he would just keep everybody awake all night just shredding stuff. It makes you feel really good. It's a stress reliever.
Mayor Katz has stressed that the trash was taken from her private property and is considering legal options. Probably none can be brought against you.
Does your trash belong to you, though?
When you put it by the curbside, it doesn't.
Yeah. When you put it by the curb, then you've officially
public property.
Abdicated ownership of it. All right. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent John Bisney. How are you, John?
I'm doing great, Rick. Thank you.
So let me understand this. So this, now that he's, I guess since he hasn't declared that he's running for president yet, Joe Lieberman is still on this business of video games. This is his sort of bailiwick, right? Keeping harmful materials out of the hands of kids.
For many years, he has been very supportive of those efforts. All other initiatives here aimed at protecting children and things that some people say, you know, might begin to border a little bit on government censorship, and that's a fine line for Lieberman to walk, of course, being a fairly moderate Democrat.
Correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Lieberman the co-author with Jim Exon of that Internet Decency Act a few years ago? Was that Lieberman?
You know, I can't confirm that. My memory's not that good, but it sounds right.
Yeah, and anyway, so his latest jihad now is against a lot of the violent video games that come out, and I know that they just issue some gigantic list, condemnation list of video games that are too violent or explicit for children.
Yeah, it comes from the National Institute on Media and the Family, and they held a news conference here with Senator Lieberman this morning to put out that list and to give their views of how things have gone in the past year. They've done it for 7 years now.
Now, we, of course, are more interested in purchasing the ones that are explicit. If you could just give us a short list of the ones that are the most violent and the most profane, we're actually going to make that way we'll know what to look for next time we go to the store.
Well, I'll tell you, there's two of them that they're really hot on.
Wait, let me predict. Let me see if I can guess here. I'm going to say that, what is that, BMX Triple X game?
Triple X BMX.
That's at the top of the list.
And Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Boy, that's number two.
Yeah, baby. I know my trash, Jim. Let me tell you, or John. I don't know you, apparently. Let me tell you, I know my violence. I know my immorality. And the Triple X BMX is the one that, it's got all kinds of full frontal nudity and all kinds of hideousness, right?
Yeah, topless strippers, as the senator put it.
It
sounds redundant to me, but I don't know.
And the Grand Theft Auto Vice City is, of course, it's the latest installment of the Grand Theft Auto series where I know there's all kinds of pimping and hoeing and running over police, and it's just, whatever happened to Pong, John?
Well, that's one of the problems that the Institute points out here. They say that, you know, the animation, the graphics, the technical aspect of these games, have all just gotten so much better that that is what makes them worse, ironically, in their opinion, as far as kids go.
Isn't there a lot? There are ratings on these games, so ostensibly parents know what their kids are buying. And they, you know, you just let one look at it, and it says M for mature. It says, and not only that, but video game ratings are actually pretty explicit themselves. They will say, rated such and such, and then it will say, for lifelike gore and nudity. I mean, you don't have to guess why a game is rated for adults only. I mean, it says right on there. Why don't they just let the parents decide what their kids are going to buy?
I'll tell you what the biggest chink in that is, and they talked about it again today, as they have in the past. It comes down to the individual clerk at retail outlets who doesn't bother to notice the rating on the game, or if they do, they don't check the buyer's age.
Now, is it actually illegal to sell a video game that's rated for adults to kids, or is that just sort of a... Is that sort of a de facto law, or is it an actual law?
I'm not aware of any federal law that says that. I suppose it could be regulated at the state level. It sounds maybe a little much, but no, there's no federal statute on that.
Yeah, all right. So I guess if they're just, they're sort of just washing their hands of the idea of parents in the home. I mean, is that what it is? It sounds to me like they're just sort of shrugging at the idea that parents in the home are going to keep an eye on what their kids are doing. I think it's why most people have a problem with that. Did they address that at all? Why it doesn't just stop with the parents?
That they really stressed that today. They said, look, that, I mean, really, that's the bottom line. I mean, parents have to be involved in these games. They say when your kid gets a game for Christmas that may have an odd title, or you may think it's a little funky or something, they say, sit down and watch it. Watch the game with them. Play it with them, and play it again. You know, they're very big on parental involvement, and they back that up by the lack of it by saying a lot of parents, I don't know how much I believe this, but they claim a lot of parents just aren't aware of what's going on in video games because all they remember is Pong and Pac-Man.
The family that drives over prostitutes together stays together. That's what I would say. There you go. CNN radio correspondent, John Disney. All right. It's 1-800-727-5955. John Disney there. Jim Roop coming up at a little after 1 o'clock. We'll talk about the all things Golden Globe today. But let me just say this. Here's a unilateral statement which you know to be true. There has never been, and I know Matt's immediately going to start screeching about Oregon Trail, but there has never been one good educational video game. This is the
problem. Dude, Oregon Trail!
I'm aware of that. But that's only if you got the graphic version. The text version is a bunch of crap. But this is the fundamental flaw in all of this video game design nonsense. This business of trying to keep violent games away from kids is that violent games are the only ones that are entertaining. There has never been one educational video game that was interesting or fun to play. Never, ever. And that's only, I mean, maybe by some obscene stretch of the imagination, you could class Tetris as some sort of geometrical spatial relations primer, but that doesn't even really count. It's like, you know what it is? Here's the other thing, too. When we were talking about sports in school a minute ago, and people were talking about teamwork. No. So we need sports in schools because it teaches teamwork. You know what the video game equivalent that is? What was the excuse that every one of us gave our parents for why we needed to play video games? Whenever your parents would go, you don't learn anything from video games, what did we all look in our mom's eyes and say we learned? Eye-hand coordination. That's what it was, man. When I was growing up, you kids in your video game. No, Mom. I'm learning eye-hand coordination, which you never need at all. Like, when's the last time you need, unless you play darts professionally, Matthew Peterson, when's the last time your ass needed eye-hand coordination? That'd be never.
I use it in my job every day. I have these little buttons that I have to push, sometimes at high rates of speed, so I have to be able to move my hands all over the board
command,
and push them.
You'd be screwed. Yeah. All right. Here's Tim Riley in the KHK Newsroom.
I've gotten by finding life with just Pac-Man. Oh, look, this Moby fellow has been battered by M&M fans. He was rushed to the hospital after being beaten up by two thugs who are believed to be his fans. The hooded man posed as an autograph hunter, ambushing the dance idol from behind, punching him in the head and breaking his glasses as he left the gate.
Breaking his glasses.
The other thug squirted a doorman with mace pepper spray, which can cause breathing difficulties, before the pair ran up. Moby is 37. He has a long-running feud with rap hero Eminem. He's suffering serious cuts and bruises and needed stitches and new glasses. So he says, I am very curious as to why these men would coordinate an attack on me. I'm not angry. I don't feel vindictive. I just hope at some point that in these guys' lives they come to realize that hurting other people is wrong.
Yeah, that's why you get beaten up, by the way. It's statements like that that get your glasses broken by a bunch of M&M listening thugs. You're talking like that Ben Driesen guy. That's exactly why people come and pound on you. Maybe it's because you're self-righteous and irritating. You make repetitive music. I mean, I'm just speculating that maybe that's the case. I don't know.
And let's see what else there. Planet Hollywood is selling some of its huge collection of movie memorabilia that includes a bullfighter costume worn by silent screen star Rudolph Valentino and Robert De Niro's boxing shorts and Raging Bull. Valentino's outfit is estimated to bring in, $15,000 to $20,000. De Niro's boxing gloves estimated at between $2,500 and $3,500. The movie theme restaurant chain is expected to emerge from Chapter 11 bankruptcy reorganization soon. It will be auctioned off. They'll auction off 300 costumes and props.
What does that mean, though, when they say, I don't understand anything about finances. What does it mean when they say they're going to emerge from Chapter 11 restructuring or whatever that is? Does that mean they're going to go away? I mean, is it?
No, it means they're actually going to come back out of.
Didn't bankruptcy used to mean that you left?
Well, but you can file for bankruptcy or you can file for bankruptcy protection.
And so this just means that nobody can collect any money they're owed.
Right. They basically get to go through and they restructure their finances. They get to try to find like bridge financing so that they can cover all of their current debts
or restructure things. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, you know, I'm just saying.
I got your bridge financing.
Well, but they're going through, they're selling off assets to try to cover debts, but it basically stops anybody from trying to collect against them right now so that they can figure out how they're going to get the money, people off, and then they close.
They ought to just admit the fact that it's a bad idea, that nobody likes the restaurant.
Nobody wants a $15 hamburger.
Seriously, I'll admit to it. I'll cop to the fact that I've gone and I've actually eaten at Planet Hollywood. I will totally admit to the fact that I was suckered in. You know what it is? It's like the Hard Rock Cafe.
Did you buy a t-shirt like a tourist?
I did not. It's when I was in Vegas. It's the first time I was in Vegas back in, I don't know, it was 21, 22. Eight, 9 years ago. It was the first time I was in Vegas. It must have been, I guess, at least 7 years ago. And it was the first time I was in Vegas. And I did all the stupid tourist things. I went to the Hard Rock, which is equally lame, by the way. And the Hard Rock, the only good thing about the Hard Rock is they've got the occasional piece of memorabilia that you really want to see. But most of the Hard Rock Cafe stuff is really uninteresting anyway. But then you went to Planet Hollywood, and Planet Hollywood had horrific food. It was incredibly overpriced, and there was nothing there I really wanted to see. It was just a bad idea from the get-go. And I think we can all agree that it's good to see those guys go down. It's good to see Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis. Who's the other guy? Is it Stallone? Is he the third party there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can see better memorabilia of Movie Madness for free.
You know what it is? That's a good point, Tim Riley. Well, let me get back to that in just a moment. But you know what it is?
I bring all my visitors.
It's like in California when there's a horrific mudslide or a fire, and you sit there and you turn on the television, you wait to see a celebrity house go up. That's what it's like to watch Planet Hollywood go down like this, man. It's strangely satisfying to your id in some way that I can't really quantify. Movie Madness, which is up on, 30...
Belmont,
39th and Belmont, or 34th?
It's like a 42nd Belmont.
Yeah, it's right by the Jungle Gym gymnasium. They got a bunch of great movie memorabilia there and a great movie selection, too, so you're going to go there.
And a lot of times you walk in there and you don't even notice half of it, but it's all over the place.
No, it's sprinkled. They got a bunch of stuff from Pulp Fiction. They got stuff from Alien. They got stuff from Psycho. They've got a bunch of classic stuff, too.
Oh, you don't decide there. I didn't know there was a silent version of The Wizard of Oz in the 20s.
I had no idea.
I found that in there. I'm going to rent this week.
All right, 1-800-727-5955. A first-time caller in Portland.
Yes.
It's Matt. You're on Hot Talk at KFTK. What's up?
Hello, Rick.
What do you got?
A whole bunch of educational video games that don't suck, I promise.
Such as? Wait, is this going to be Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
No, those are lame.
All right,
let's see. I'm more of a computer game guy than a console game guy, but Civilization 1, 2, and 3... which is basically you build a civilization from the ground up, and it teaches you all about how to set all that crap up. IL-2 Sturmovik, where, you know, you learn all about, how to fly a plane, and because it's actually got real physics as opposed to somewhat fake physics like most video game, flight simulators.
I was going to say, that a flight simulator counts as educational.
Well, it's a lot of fun, and it's got a whole lot of tactics, and you can blow the hell out of
that's
guys.
That's sort of like saying that a hunting simulator counts as educational.
Tell us all kind
of that, though.
Yeah.
Tell us all kind of it's not educational.
Oh, that's just wrong. I didn't say that. That was Matthew Peterson who said that. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. We got CNN Radio's Jim Roop going to come up later to talk about the Golden Globes. Richard Nunn will be joining us later on. We've also got the top five driving songs of 2002, according to Yahoo.com. That's all coming up later. Don't go anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KFTK, your social distortion.
Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, here is Sarah Dillon with the draft.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Rick, why not offer sponsorships of your rants? You do it for the F-Mat, so why not run a This Sudden and Unexpected Rant brought to, by Rick is brought to you by Thus and So. It's not a bad idea.
How is it that we didn't think of that?
Because I'm a fool. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. We got this. Rick, school sports. You learn that if you're good at athletics, good-looking, popular, or drive a BMW at 16, the rules of life don't apply to you the same way they apply to everybody else. P.S. It took me until 30 to get my first BMW. That's from Brian.
It's not my fault Brian's 15 years behind the curve.
Oh, see, that's why people hate you. That's why someday when you're lying in the road in need of a blood transfusion, everybody's going to say, no, I gave this morning. Is this our Trey?
It is Trey.
All right. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, our esteemed co-worker, resident sales god, the one and only Trey Yant. What's up with you, man?
Oh, that was actually a really funny intro that Matt's bashing on this guy for not having a BMW yet. He has an empty chocolate milk carton in his dashboard, I noticed this morning.
That was breakfast on the way in.
A little touch of class and style.
Yeah, but then explaining the empty beer bottle in the back of the pickup truck really says BMW.
That was dinner on the way home.
Excellent.
Oh, my God. Rick, you don't drive, do you? Not regularly.
I drive passively. Listen, let me tell you, man,
this morning, let me paint this picture for you. Barber Boulevard, 7 a.m., about a 1978 Datsun. Yes, I said Datsun, not Nissan. It's that old. A Datsun B210 station wagon.
A station? I didn't even know they made a wagon version of that
car. Dude, it was a B210 station wagon with the panel, the plastic panel things on the side that made it look like it was a Woody. Don't get all excited, Matt. I did say Woody. And it's weaving all over the road at 7 in the morning like this person's drunk and going back to back, and several people have to stop, and I'm like, okay, I got to drive up next and see what's going on here. As I get closer to the vehicle, on one side is an Oakland Raiders sticker. On the other side are the two Hard Rock stations here in town.
Uh-huh.
As I pull up next to the driver, here's this chick with a cigarette in the left hand, a bowl of cereal in her left hand, trying to drive and eat and shift this manual transmission at the same time. I was so pissed. If I didn't care about my driving record, I'd have just shoved her off the road myself. It was so stupid.
No, you see those women sometimes. You know what it is? It's like a particularly inviting scab or something that you want to pick at or whatever. It's like you see those cars that you just want to drive into a drainage culvert.
Right.
You want to ram them right into a ditch. There you go.
Yeah, there's one part of me that says, okay, I want to get close and find out what the F is going on here. And then the other said, part of me says, no, my Explorer is going to turn into a Woody vehicle.
Excellent.
So now I'm, I get to hear all the other people who are even remotely associated with this show get to do a top five list.
Yes.
What about hooking up a brother who's hooked you up?
You are the last person should be talking to me about hooking up a brother, okay?
What are you talking about? I'm always hooking up for the Rick Emerson show.
Let me talk. The total tonnage of things that you have dangled in front of me and then taken away could stay a team of oxen, my friend. Let's leave alone for a moment the fact that Tim has so far driven about $190,000 worth of car in the last 10 days. We'll leave alone this business of the hundreds and hundreds of dollars, this laptop. Don't try to be all brother man with me.
Come on now. It's the Rick Emerson Show. So people who are associated with the show, if they benefit, then so does the show. The Rick Emerson Show.
What do you mean people associated with it? I'm associated with the goddamn show.
God, come on. I've helped the show out thus. I've helped you out. I mean, come on, happy co-host, make for a better show.
Okay, thanks,
come on.
Thank you, Vladimir Lenin. I appreciate it. No, when one succeeds, we all succeed.
Look at it this way. If I give you a top five list, I'm like teeing up. I'm giving you the opportunity to publicly bash me once again. I mean,
well, when you put it that way, it's hard to say, though. All right, put it on my desk.
All right.
And then you stray from sales. It's a bunch of scapers, weasels. All right, here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Now let's see what's on TV tonight. Muhammad, legend of a prophet, whoever he is,
Also on WB32 tonight, women's basketball, Oregon at Montana.
Yeah, watch it before it's canceled.
Biography, Dr. Phil, getting real.
Oh, please, don't. Can I just tell you that, Sarah, let me ask you about, hold on, where is she? Oh, she's not even paying attention. She's completely in her own world. Let me just, hold on.
She's answering a phone.
Hold on, let's see. No, I was going to see how long it took her to notice, because she's actually taking her headphones off. Doesn't even have her headphones on right now, and I could make up all kinds of slanderous...
Oh, what were you saying?
I didn't mean to take you away from whatever it was you were doing over there.
What, my job?
Oh, don't get sassy with me. What, you been hanging around Betsy? Coming here all kinds of lip? No, I was just going to ask if you're a Dr. Phil fan.
No.
Okay, good for you. All right. Because all the other women associated with this show, like when you ask them about Dr. Phil, they all kind of grudgingly admit that they're big fans. Like even Kim, who was like the one least likely, Kim's all about Dr. Phil.